The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the epic podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Lugo, Schaefer the Dark Lord, and Rachel Shank.
That's me.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 31. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And I am your other host, Rachel Shank.
Hey, the band's back together.
We did it. We did it.
I play drums.
I am on the maracas.
See, then the band already has too many rhythm instruments.
Are you gonna
play a lead instrument?
Yeah, I'll play. Yeah. I can already play a stringed instrument, guys. So, I can play the ukulele.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah. Hey, the White Stripes did it.
I don't think you're actually very familiar with the instrumentation of that band.
Yeah.
There's a string and then there's a percussion.
We haven't done a show since February 2015.
It is now April.
Well, we skipped over March because fuck March. Fuck it.
Is that why?
Well, that's the story I'm going with. Do you want to tell the audience the truth? That it was your fault, basically?
I just heard a story about it.
Yeah. All right.
I'm blaming Schaefer because Schaefer was out of town on a tour, doing fun things, being the artist he wants to be,
God.
I'm never going to begrudge him that.
I went and hung out with a bunch of jackasses in Texas and ate tacos and played drunk rap shows.
Did you eat kimchi?
I absolutely ate kimchi fries, and it was the best thing I ate all week. It was actually, will probably continue to be the best thing I will eat all year.
This is South by Southwest.
North by Northwest in Texas, which is north now.
It's fine. I went down there and I did some shows. While I was gone, I told the guys, hey, there's a week out of the month where
Us.
Oh.
I am your host, Nelson Lugo, and I am your other host,
Rachel
Shank.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I told these guys that I can't do an episode this month. You guys take it.
Yeah.
Take this one without me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I just heard the story before we started recording what happened.
There was a fire.
There was no fire.
I got kidnapped.
It's called Shanghaied when it's pirates.
Yeah, well, the technical term is Shanghaied,
It actually went a little something like this. The day we were supposed to record, we had this idea. I'm going to tell you the idea, and you're all going to be really sad that we didn't do it. We were going to watch an episode of Doctor Who live and, like, riff tracks it. We were going to do that because we were ambitious.
Yeah.
We were so ambitious.
So ambitious, yes.
And the day of recording arrives, and I walk into Nelson's room because we are roommates.
Yes, we are.
Roommates.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise. And
you guys made it official.
Yeah.
Since September.
Oh, no. I'm just not allowed to say we live together. That's
because
the thing.
That's the language. Yes. That's, okay. Sorry.
That's Nelson semantics.
No, no. No. Words mean things.
Please. Go on.
I wish I had an apple. Anyway, I looked at Nelson and I said, so are we doing this tonight? He said, I don't know. You pick. And I said,
you pick.
Nah.
So basically, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
It's your fault we didn't do it.
Yes.
So I'm absolved of any wrongdoing.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to say sure, because you've done enough wrong in the world, and I have not done enough wrong. I'll take this one. I'll just take it. I'll just be the scapegoat for everything. Guys, I'm the reason we didn't riff tracks Doctor Who.
So please send your hate mail to epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Please,
that's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
In the subject line, could you just say, more like Rachel sucks? Guys, I'm not mad. I'm not worried.
It was, you know what? It was a very, March has been March was a tough month.
It was a busy month.
It was busy. And cold. It was tough. It was miserable. There was a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. March was not a good month.
It's fine.
Unfortunately. But we're back. Here.
It feels like we've kind of traveled through time in a sense because.
What do you mean?
Because the last episode.
Yeah.
It happened in a different era.
What are you talking about?
When was the last episode? It was February?
Yeah.
It was the love letter episode?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That existed in a different time than we live in now.
What time
when we recorded February 2015
yeah.
was in the time known as before the Star Wars trailer. I don't like food doesn't taste the same way anymore. Somehow the songs that I hear on the radio, like I get them now.
Yeah, okay.
There's a whole new
that's
like,
a thing, I guess.
Colors have more pigment now. It's crazy.
I watched that Star Wars trailer and it was great. I was very moved by it and very excited for that movie. So
I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up.
I didn't cry. I mean, I honestly don't get the tears. I mean. Is it because Han Solo says we're home and that's the tear-jerky part, or was it the rolling ball droid
is real?
Yeah, no, that's an actual prop.
Gets
yeah,
me.
That's a working.
That gets me.
Or was it like the downed Star Destroyer? What is it? Star Destroyer?
Yeah. Do you really want to know?
Yeah. What's the misty like? I mean, obviously it's different for different people, but what got you misty, Schaefer?
I didn't. Get misty. I know a lot of people were posting about the Star Wars trailer and like, oh my god, tears. Oh my god, I'm literally crying. I sobbed. In fact,
proud of you.
I did, and then I came home and watched it again, and then I did again. And if I tell this story, I might again.
Oh dear. Wait. So hold on. So. Are you saying that it's not just the trailer, that the trailer, something about the trailer brought up something for you, nostalgia-wise?
It did.
Okay. So it wasn't the trailer per se, it's what the trailer did that represents something to you greater than the movie.
Yeah, I'm not overwhelmed because, oh my god, I can't wait for this 2 hours of entertainment.
Right.
I mean, obviously... I have had a very, very warm relationship with Star Wars since I was... I always used to say, Star Wars is a big part of my childhood. And that's ridiculous. Star Wars has been a big like part of my entire life. And those asshole characters from those corny little space operas, I spent so much intimate time with them in my developing years that those fucking asshole make-believe people have always felt like family to me. So that one shot, the one that they threw the big punch where they were going to hit, where they were going to like pluck everybody's heartstrings and they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
They have these, they're like loved ones that you thought you would never see again, like 32 years later.
Yeah.
And that also with making an announcement that they're home. And it just, I don't know, I just felt incredibly overwhelmed by it. I guess I should also probably point out that a big part of my experience with Star Wars is always enjoying those movies with my mom.
Ah, right. Sure.
I mean, obviously, because she's my mom and I was a kid, so
right.
She's going to have to driving to some sort of picture box house or something. I don't have a job or money. Yeah. I can't just go and see Star Wars.
I need
somebody to take care of me and do that. So
yeah, I get that.
I was surprised how overwhelmed I was watching that.
Wowzers.
Fuck you. It's like they framed it in that shot, that like iconic shot of the two of them. Like,
no, I get it. I guess Star Wars for me hasn't ever really been that kind of. And Schaefer's getting a hug from Rachel because Schaefer is crying, and it's kind of sweet.
Well, I knew you weren't gonna do it, so.
What I am as close to him physically as I've ever been in my life.
But you can just take that one arm and just drape it over his shoulder. I'm just saying.
I don't like touching people. But enough about me.
Yeah.
I guess Star Wars for me is, I mean, I love the movies and I love
and I love the memories associated with them, but they weren't. They weren't those movies that were not part. Were never really part of the fabric of my
right
growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciated them. I watched them. I loved them. I collected the toys. I was always excited for that kind of universe.
Yeah.
And I pretended I was a Jedi. I made a lightsaber out of a flashlight and a tube, you know. But they're it's not intricately woven into the fabric of my adolescence. Like for so many people, you know. So I guess as much as I think that trailer is just pitch perfect in its way of delivering the news of the new movie, it just, you know, I got very excited because I want to see a new movie, I guess. Yeah. You know, but I didn't connect with it as a whole lot of people, not just you, are connecting with it.
Oh no, it's, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, Star Wars sort of came into my life at around the time that I was sort of embracing my own nerdiness. Like, the prequels came out when I was prepubescent, so like all of this hype happened about it, and that was disappointing. And I remember being young enough to have bad enough taste in humans that I was like, "Ooh, Hayden Christensen's so handsome." I was very, very dumb. I'm getting better, maybe.
What
I don't
is
know.
He doing now?
Nothing. Isn't like, that sad? Isn't that so sad for him?
So he basically just did two Star Wars movies, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Life as a House and something else.
Glass.
Or maybe it was a glass house. I don't know.
No, there's some movie that had glass where he was like a plagiarizing journalist.
Our roommate Kara's like screaming at me right now. I know it.
Oh, because she knows all that?
No, we play a game called Which is Faster, Kara or IMDb, and it's always Kara. It is always Kara. Today is her birthday, actually, as we're recording this.
Happy birthday,
Kara. She's...
One day I'll meet you.
Maybe. You should come over for dinner. Maybe. We'll cook for you. I'm really good at it. Anyway, so I digress. But so that came out. And so I ended up watching like all of them sort of like as like a group.
And all six films?
Yeah. I had like the box set. Like I got that for Christmas one year when I was in high school. And it was like fucking awesome. And so it's sort of like the harbinger of me being nerdy and being into like science fiction and all of this, like that in Lord of the Rings, like I became a film nerd and like an actual nerd in like one go. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
If there was going to be a trailer I was going to get emotional for, it would have been for Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice, which the trailer of that came out as well, not too long after the Star Wars one.
The next day. Well, the leak came out the next day.
Yeah.
It was
Well, it was leaked. Yeah. I mean, it officially released like a few days later.
How'd you feel about that trailer? Yeah.
You know what? I guess I'm going to be like the one person in the world who's going to say this, but I actually liked it. I guess the joke is in a wonderful great departure from DC comic book hero movies. This movie is going to be dark and gritty.
Right.
Because DC doesn't know how to make anything but dark and gritty.
Well, that's because Green Lantern went so poorly, and they're just like, no, we'll never do that again for Green Lantern.
Yeah. To be fair, they did make that movie, and they did it like all brightly colored and silly jokes.
Yeah, I mean, they also gave that treatment to the post Burton Batmans, the Batman,
the Schumachers,
the Schumacher. Oh God, the Schumachers.
The
Schumachers. And so they can't find the middle ground right now. So they're like the teenager who went from like, I love My Little Pony to like, I'm fucking goth now.
My bedroom's so good. My bathroom's black. Like my soul.
I cut all the ponies. But the thing hair is,
I think you know, they're taking a lot from Dark Knight Returns, essentially. Yeah. The plot is borrowed from Dark Knight Returns, and I fucking love Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
So to see an adaptation, a loose adaptation of Dark Knight Returns, give it to me. Fuck yeah. I mean, as much as people hate Affleck in the role, I think he looks fantastic in it.
Well, they poo-pooed Heath Ledger as the Joker, so that's always going to be my defense. I'm going to be
don't
judge till you know.
The new Batmobile is fucking badass. It's like a hybrid between like the classic Burton Batmobile and the
Tumblr.
The Nolan Tumblr.
Cool.
I'm excited. Here's the thing. I want to see a movie where Batman beats the shit out of Superman. That's what I want. And that's what this movie is going to deliver, and I'm going to see it 100 times.
I've never been really big into the Justice League or many of the characters of the DC Universe, but right. I got to say, I'm excited about this movie, and I'm excited about the other ones, the ones that are coming down the road.
Yeah,
I'm really too. I'm really excited about Suicide Squad. I think Jared...
I'm stoked for
I can't
Suicide
wait to see
Squad.
Jared Leto play Joker.
I have never, ever,
it's
ever
be awesome.
Been into
Suicide
Squad.
Did you see the image?
Yeah. Have, of what, Jared Leto?
Of Jared Leto. Oh.
It's good. I have never been a fan of Suicide Squad because I always thought it was a D-list team-up book. But for some reason, a Suicide Squad movie intrigues the fuck out of me. Mm. So,
that guy, Killer Croc's gonna be in it.
Waylon Jones?
In Suicide Squad, yeah.
Nice!
And it's that guy who played Anna Beesey from Oz.
Oh, yeah.
And he was also on Lost. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm really excited for Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
Yeah.
I saw that promo
he looks
shot.
Good.
Khal Drogo.
I get that some of these other heroes like Wonder Woman and Aquaman are going to be mostly cameos.
Don't care.
And yeah, I don't care. You're right. I honestly do not care. I want to see these embodiments of Aquaman has never ever had his own filmed treatment at all. I mean, there was a pilot made.
Yeah, which was a really crazy. This is crazy.
The pilot for a TV show was actually kind of good.
Yeah. There was an Aquaman TV?
There was an Aquaman pilot.
The guy made. Who played
Green Arrow.
Green Arrow in
Smallville.
Smallville was Aquaman.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was, yeah.
It was actually kind of good. I liked
it. Wasn't Ving Rhames, was it? No, who was
it?
No,
it was...
Internet screaming at me.
Wait, oh God.
I'll IMDb
No, wait.
Later.
Was it that kid from Queens, Vinny Chase?
No. Wait, it might actually be Ving Rhames.
No. I thought it, no.
Oh, fuck. I can't remember now. This is going to be a fantastic year for movies, I must say. Because
Ant-Man, into that sort of thing.
Well, and I am, because new Avengers, Avengers 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
We've got Ant-Man, which looks
hilarious.
I am so excited
for Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man.
Yeah. The new Ant-Man comic book is so funny.
Is it?
It's so funny.
Is that on Comixology?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to read that then.
Read it. The new Ant-Man comic book is fantastic.
No, but is it on your Comixology?
It's on my account, yes. You can,
then I will read it.
You silly goose. Yeah. Then we have Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the other one? That...
We have Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that's what I said. Avengers 2. Avengers 2, Ant-Man, Star Wars.
I am not necessarily excited for the Fantastic Four movie, only because I'm nervous about it.
I'm actually intrigued. I will go see it. Oh, wait, no, a Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
This is going to be a big...
I want to see Jurassic World.
Guys, can I just... I'm going to say two words, and I'm going to throw them at you.
Sure.
And if you're not into it, just throw it fucking back at me. Field reports.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew you were going to say it.
Wait, what's field reports?
Field reports, where we go see things.
Oh, where we were like, guys, Amazing really Spider-Man 2 was poops.
Guys.
Super poops.
Godzilla was almost a fun.
We only did those twice. It's not like we have a whole, we don't have a proud tradition of field reports.
Well, we keep thinking we're going to.
Yeah.
I keep saying, Rachel said the last time, hey, get a field report something from South by Southwest. I didn't.
Yeah, I figured
it didn't make, I couldn't though.
It's okay,
because
we didn't
I
even
only,
do the whole podcast,
I
so
only,
I'm not mad.
I only had my phone, which has a recording device in it, in my hand constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's what I thought about later. I'm just, what a dick. The thing is that I realized with this, also the time off, maybe it's not just because we're in a post-second Star Wars Episode 7 teaser world now.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, sure.
Maybe it's also because I've learned that when I'm not recording or editing the Epic Podcast,
right.
I don't think about the Epic Podcast. And I forget to do things like, I need to be picking up material. Unless I see the two of you doing it, I'm not...
Can you tell me how you do that? Because I think about this shit constantly. I'm like, what can we do? Yeah, I'm planning on guests.
I make up this shit as I go along, seriously. Like, I just kind of wake up, show up, talk for a little bit, and then, boop, Bob's your uncle.
I'm plotting over here. I'm planning. I got ideas for this podcast. Of course, I feel like I'm the podcast nerd, though. I'm pretty sure I listen to the most podcasts of all of us.
Oh, I don't know. I might give you a run for your money. I'm listening to a lot right now.
Are you listening to Thrilling Adventure Hour?
No.
Are you listening to We Got This?
No.
Are you listening to Welcome to Night Vale?
I am.
Oh, do you like it?
I love Night Vale.
Oh, I love it. Cecil Baldwin is a really nice human.
That's right. You met him.
I did. I auditioned for him.
Weird. But anyway, so what's the topic for this month? What are we going to do?
Well, when we left here,
yeah,
we kind of snarked on one of our listeners.
Yes, we did. Oh, dear. Yes, we did.
Now, at the end of that conversation, Nelson goofed and suggested that everybody send in their career advice questions for next month.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
Go back, take the tape, because I said it and you guys laughed and I was like, I'm not really, I was,
you know,
kind of serious.
You're right. Let's go to the tape.
TWBB, I'd like to answer your two questions.
Oh, dear.
Number one, $5,000. Number two, Adderall.
Next month, please send us your career advice questions to thefrappypodcast@gmail.com, and we will gladly answer all of your professional queries.
Oh my God, please send us career advice questions. Oh, you're absolutely right. Look at that.
It's my young brain. It remembers things.
Yeah. The old men of the podcast.
Rachel suggested that our listeners then write in career advice questions.
And drunk emails.
Right. And as it turns out, we got a number of them.
Yeah, we got a few of them. Yeah.
Now I feel like, so it might be fitting then, we'll say that April is going to be a month that is a time when one might be thinking about finding a new job.
Sure.
Because they've just sent all of their money to their federal and state government.
Yeah.
In a burlap bag with a dollar sign drawn on the side of it.
Oh, mine had $2 signs on it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually ended up having to pay a whole lot of taxes this year.
I did. It's almost pornographic.
It's staggeringly.
You know what?
It's staggeringly a lot.
It's gauche to talk about money.
But
I sent dollars to the federal and state government.
Good gravy. I guess that's the
that
price of success.
No.
Well, I mean, you sold a lot of albums this year. That contributed to it.
That is not why I had to send them that much money.
Fair enough.
Whatever. Oh, God. So a number of people may be thinking about looking for a new job if you've been sending your money.
So this is apropos. The topic is apropos. Yeah. Given the month.
We can talk about careers, jobs, money. And I feel like if we're going to answer anybody's questions.
Sure.
Their career advice questions.
Yeah.
We should probably make our qualifications.
Ooh, show them our resumes. Yes.
I think this is a fair description.
Sure.
We are all quasi-professional art dicks.
I was just going to say assholes. I wasn't even going to put art in it.
Three quasi-professional art dicks.
Yes.
Who have to pay the rent.
Yes.
Which means all three of us have gone through a fuckload of weird jobs.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
None of us have a conventional career.
Oh, goodness, no. No, not at all.
So I feel maybe we should then...
We're going to have a conference meeting right now in our studio. So you know that when we answer your career advice questions, we don't know what the fuck we're actually talking about. So... This is for fun.
Maybe we're actually overqualified because we've had so many shitty jobs.
Lugo, what do you do for a day job right now?
I can't tell you.
God damn it! I thought that was going to work.
I can tell you when you're not recording.
He does a job somewhere.
Rachel? What do you do for a day job right now?
For right now, yeah. I am a nanny.
Aww,
that's.
See,
yeah.
that one's fun. It's a good kid and pretty much good parents and your friends.
Well, give us the list. What's your litany of terrible jobs you've had over the years?
food service. Lots and lots of food service. I'm really good at it, but I hate it. I have been an auction coordinator.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did you actually get to do the sold?
No. I had to do all like the behind the scenes stuff. Like
the cataloging and the...
You know, because a coordinator is one who coordinates.
Words mean things. I know.
Words mean things, apparently. It was my job to like gather the prizes and liaison
I don't think auction items are called prizes. They're not. It's not a raffle.
Well, it's a prize, but you win when you
win the
prize. You win an auction.
Yeah. What
right,
is?
Right. But
what
it's
is
not
it? Fine. The lots.
Thank you.
God.
Hey, words mean things.
Wow, that was shop talk.
Yeah.
Lots. I was alienated by that because I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I said prizes, because I want to just keep this like easy going and fun and stuff.
Wait, did you details. Did you know the word lots?
Yeah.
What have you been to auction? And that's what you say, right? You don't say you've been to an auction. You say you've
been to auction. Yes, right. It was a silent auction. I've coordinated a couple of them now.
I've been to auctions.
Okay, shut up. You've not been. Well, did you buy anything? What did you bid on?
I've bid on stuff. I've never actually won anything.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, auction coordinator.
Uh-huh. I have been a caroler during the holiday season.
Really?
You got paid to carol? Carol?
Yes, I got... I got paid to carol for Consumer Reports. So we sang Christmas carols with the lyrics altered to talk about Consumer Reports.
Oh, dear.
So we're like, Yelp is getting a bad review, blah, blah, blah. Something like that. It was crazy. It was fucking weird.
Where did you do that?
All around the city. Like, we hopped in a van. It was fucking freezing. We did it in front of FAO Schwartz. We did it at Bryant Park. We were all over the city singing bullshit Christmas carols. And that's not even the worst job I've ever had. What's that was actually kind of fun. And then we handed out hand sanitizer, which was weird.
That's so... There
are... We've done some weird freaking jobs.
Wait, so what was the worst?
Oh. Before I enrolled in college during the summer, I was part of a staffing agency, and they sent me to a factory called Ameriqual, which is a factory that does canning and the MREs for soldiers.
It's a processed food plant.
So like canning and packaging and all of this stuff. And the very first day on the job, they put me in the refrigerated room. And my job was to take Vienna sausages and put them into the packaging before the packaging like flew by. So you had to do it fast. So I'm standing in this line, and I'm with some older ladies who are like really good at this, and I am not. I am the absolute opposite of good at this. And I'm reaching into this like brine water and pulling out three Vienna sausages at a time in each hand and trying to drop them into my little sections. And there's this metal square blockade situation. So every time the Vienna sausages brush past, it knocks my hand repeatedly, just again and again and again, like knocking my knuckle. And I'm cold, and the brine has started to get into my gloves, and I have to do this rote task for 8 hours. I got up at 6 in the morning, drove to this factory, and was there for 8 hours. And I come home from this, and I walk into my parents' kitchen, and I just fall into a heap, and my mother's standing in the kitchen smoking a cigarette, and I just look at her and I say, I feel like I've just sold my soul for $8 an hour just in this heap, because like my hands hurt and I'm cold and I'm tired because I'm not used to being up that early. And she looks at me, I kid you not, she says, you're going back tomorrow. And so I went back the next day, and they put me in the warm room with all the cookies. And then my job was just take a rag and like wipe the crumbs away from the edges that were going to like seal up, so the seal wouldn't be faulty.
Yeah, okay.
But apparently they do that to the young, like, staffing kids. And they call it the make sure your kid goes to college chop. Oh, I found this out later, and I was just like, fuck you, America.
You don't even have what it takes to handle Vienna sausages.
You should go and get a degree. I'm just, look, just saying, maybe do that. It was crazy. Wow. I mean, I was already going to go to college.
But you only did the sausages one day.
The one day, but it was
How long did you continue working there in the cookie division?
Oh, I got moved around. I only did the cookie division for like a couple days, and then they put me up as like an MRE inspector. So what I did was I made sure that the seals around the MREs didn't have any bubbles. And if they did, I'd like throw them behind. And by that point, I was like so old hat at it that I was able to like sneak my headphones under my like my net hat. And I was just like jamming out and just like inspecting MREs. After that, it was like a fine job. And I did it till I started that semester. So it was just like for a summer. But that one day lives with me.
I would have met. That was the first job you ever had.
No. I worked at like little burger joints when I was in high school.
Got it.
I've been working since I was old enough to drive. Actually, before I was able to drive, because I was like a babysitter when I was 12.
Fair enough.
I was born to labor.
Wow, that's pretty crappy.
Yeah, that was fun.
What about you, Schaefer?
Oh, God.
What's your litany of terrible jobs?
I mean.
You've actually had some of everybody I know, you've had some of the like the most interesting worst jobs ever.
Well, I mean, I got stuff like I was 14 years old and I got to work in a movie theater. That was my first job. It was illegal, but they let me work there and sell popcorn. I worked at like 3 different pizza places. I think I got fired from all of those.
Sure.
Gosh, I've worked at video stores. I worked at a video duplication house in Manhattan for a while. It wasn't the worst. I don't think it was the worst job I've ever had, but it was definitely working for the worst person I've ever known.
Sure.
I currently work in a job doing what I won't disclose here.
Sure.
My day job is currently on Wall Street. I was a messenger for a film company in San Francisco. I drove a van around the city all day. I was a personal assistant to a dominatrix.
You worked in a porn shop too, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked in a porn shop. I worked in 2 porn shops. I worked in one of them for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it that horrible or did something happen? Or
I didn't want to work there.
Okay.
I worked in the other one for 4 years.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, I worked in the 4-year one first. It was when I was in college. And when I was down on my luck in New York and I didn't have any money, I went and got a job at this porn shop. And it was after 3 days. I was like, I don't want to do this again. I, for the most part, have good memories of working at the porn shop. It was a pretty good job. I was able to study there and goof off, and I would bring other movies there and just sit and get high and listen to college radio. And for the most part, it was a fine job, but it was like – but when that job sucked, it sucked on such a spectacular level. Like, it couldn't be like – oh, God, I work at Applebee's, and tonight there was, like, this really annoying birthday party there. Ugh, and they didn't tip me. That's cool. That's cool. That was your bad night at work.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
My bad work would be a night where, in addition to mopping up cum, I would also have to mop up vomit. That was – those would be special.
Oh, did you get a lot of – because I would imagine that the you had varying degrees of clientele. Like, just people who were coming in to, like, you know you know, get something that they've never been in there before, but they're getting something funny or kitschy for like a friend, right? And then you have the people who are like the sex positive advocates that are in there either resupplying or
This is in Iowa City, Iowa, in the mid-90s, so no, those
oh no. That those weren't though.
No.
So what was the kind of clientele?
The kind of looky-loos college students getting stuff for like frat parties or various, you know, people get bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Sure.
But and then the rest of them were just people who were looking for the
porn,
the weird things to get them off.
Yeah,
and we had jerk off booths there, and with the video arcade.
Oh, sure, sure. So the peep shows. The
first couple of years I worked there, I had to clean those, and that was That's the worst job that to ever have to do. It's just horrifying.
Yeah, I bet that's.
I would get cruised all night. I was 20 years old or something, and the hardcore creeps were just cruising me all the time. Everybody just like, I worked the shifts till like 2 a.m. and the guys would just like walk around the shop and like whip their dick out and jerk off and stare
in the aisles.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Gravy.
Or they'd leave me like, there was this guy that we all called Pig Farmer because apparently he was an incredibly successful pig farmer and was very well off, but. He would like slip notes. He'd leave them like on the counter as he was going around the corner back to the booth. And it would be like, they would say, "Clerk boy, let me suck you $100. Like every fucking night. And then there was this weird thing. One night I was working there and it was almost 2 a.m. and the door suddenly opened and then slammed shut. And I looked around. Nobody else was in the store. I was like, oh, that's frightening. And I went over to open the door to see, what was it? Was somebody out there fucking with me? And when I did, I found a fucking mound of dead birds. I presume it was somebody who had some sort of anti-pornography stance and it was some kind of protest or vandalism or scare tactic thing.
Sure.
But somebody came to this porn shop and dumped a box full of dead birds, pigeons, in a pile outside the front door.
Like,
and ran
dead
off.
How? Like mutilated, natural causes, or like
was well, it... the medical examiner wasn't working that night.
No,
that's... so
was it obvious that someone had killed them? Was it bloody? Or
it was obvious that it was done by a right-handed man standing approximately 5'6" tall.
I hate you so much right now.
Does it matter if they went out gathering them or killing them? It was just a bunch of dead birds, and that sucks. Because you know what else sucks? Live birds. So. That was the porn shop. I do have some good memories of that place, but for the most part, that was the worst job I've ever had.
And you did it for 4 years.
Yeah.
I did it for 4 years. They let me stop washing cum off of the video screens. I was like, I think maybe I've paid my dues.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get the graveyard shift kids to do that, and I could have some dignity back. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that when you spray it with water, it activates the scent? Did you guys know that? No, because I've been doing it for 2 years.
Okay.
That's how I'm qualified to answer your career advice questions, because I no longer do
now
that.
Now I have a career advice question. What is the most efficient way to get semen out of things?
Here's the thing. When you're cleaning it at a place like the adult shop, and when your boss is wanting to keep the store clean, mm-hmm. it's usually not that difficult because it's usually pretty fresh.
Yeah.
It's still glistening.
Mm-hmm. I would guess maybe like a water white vinegar situation. It's like cleans and disinfects at the same time.
It was a bleach mixture.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it would be really overpowering, the smell of bleach and freshly deposited semen.
Semen.
Yeah.
Bleach and semen sounds like a great metal band.
Also, you could smoke in the porn shop. And a lot of the guys who would go up into the booths and cruise all day, they would just sit up there and chain smoke. There was no ventilation, and they just put crush the cigarettes out on the floor. So it smelled like being inside of like a Star Wars trash compactor sized ashtray filled with bleach and cum.
God damn it.
Is anybody else besides me like hungry?
Holy shit. I wish I'd gone before you, because I can't follow that.
So, Nelson,
oh God,
tell us about your career adventures.
Well, the thing is, I think out of the two of you, I have done the most things. Like, I have had so many fucking jobs. First job I had out of high school was putting up fireworks tents for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Those, like, roadside firework pop-up stands, I guess they call them. And so my job was to put them together with a crew, decorate them, and this is in Florida. This is Orlando, Florida, in like the middle of the summer, like June, and where it's wet and fucking humid.
It's like
raining.
Being inside of a mouth.
Yeah, yeah, and on the best of days, it was horrible. Backbreaking labor. I literally
with explosives.
Well, no, I never got to handle the explosives. I never got the fun part. Like another crew would come in later to stock the.
You just
set up the tents.
Basically, we would set up these, and they weren't like the easy like aluminum fold out tents. These were like wooden posts with. I mean, I was like putting up basically a one ring circus tent every day for like 3 weeks, sometimes three or four in a day.
So fit.
Oh God, yeah, I guess I was. But
wait, when was this? Out of high school?
It was this summer right after high school. And then I washed dishes for exactly 3 weeks in a very like hoity-toity rich person restaurant called Sam Snead's Tavern in Orlando, Florida. And then I quit that job really fast. And then I think the coolest job I've ever had is I worked for this place called Terror on Church Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a year-round haunted theme attraction, which was basically this old two-story building that was just this giant path that you circumvented and things would come out and scare you. And it was all year round. And it was my first paid acting gig, and I was making more money than my dad at the time. And I had saved up all that money to go to school in New York. I also call that the weird Nelson time. So, yeah.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, the thing is, at the time, I was a very sheltered, very naive kid, like not particularly worldly, not particularly experienced in anything, really.
You looked like one of the members of Crisscross, too, Hannah.
Yes, I did. Yeah. A very Latin Crisscross. But because, you know, and like I would see the goth kids at high school and I wanted to hang out with them, but I never felt like I was cool enough to hang out with them. So I was like a closet goth. But at this job, I would show up at 6 p.m., right, wear all black, scare people for 8 hours, basically go home, and then go out, have dinner, have drinks with my friends. By the time I get home, it's sunrise, go to sleep all day, and then do it all over again. I kept vampire hours, and I had that job for a good long while, and screaming became positive reinforcement for me. Because as I scared people, when they screamed, I was doing my job. That meant
you were doing your job well, yeah.
So my girlfriend at the time got very concerned about my actions in that period. I don't know what happened to me. I got very weird.
Wait. I can't ever believe when I say this to you. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it.
Sure.
Can I hear a little more?
About?
I feel like there's some details that you left out there. Your girlfriend was scared because you seemed to seek screams and positive reinforcement. She wasn't scared
because I mean she was never in danger of me. That's not the kind of person I am. But like the sex got, you know, very experimental.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See, there were two ways that the road could have gone. Yes. Like you could have just been like, and I fucking hid behind corners and scare the shit out of girlfriend repeatedly because I couldn't turn it off.
It was a really weird time.
Well,
I mean, you know, I was maybe 18, 19, somewhere in there. And my girlfriend at the time, like, you know, we were very young, very virile, very sex hungry, and we are experimenting, got gothic, I guess, is probably the most the easiest term I can get.
Okay.
But then I got accepted into acting school and left for New York shortly thereafter, where I had a litany of other sort of terrible jobs. But I think I worked for the Jim Henson Company at one point for 2 years. I was a full body puppeteer for the Jim Henson Company for a good long while. That was fun as fuck. I wish I was still doing that. I think the worst thing I ever did, it wasn't the worst job, but I just like you, like I worked for the worst human being.
I was going to say, don't tell me the worst thing you've ever done. No. I thought you were, okay. The worst thing I've ever done is... No.
Well, the worst thing you've ever done ever or the worst thing you've ever done for money? Because those are very different.
They can be the same, but I'm just saying. I don't want to ever have a conversation with Nelson. Let me tell you the worst thing I've ever done, because I feel like there's something really dark is about to happen.
Yeah, and
he's getting all this shit off his chest. He's gonna open his skull, and your face is gonna melt.
Like
I would never have that conversation on the podcast, first of all. But it was my time when I worked at the magic shop. When I was a manager at Phantasma Magic Shop.
Oh, in Manhattan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And working at a magic shop is as awesome and as horrible as you might imagine it to be. Because mm-hmm. even as incredible as it is to be in a magic shop, it's still retail, right?
Yeah.
So, and I was a manager, so I didn't really get to do any of the fun stuff. I was always in the back room, like, filling orders or dealing with customer service or changing light bulbs. Like, I did all of the busy work, essentially. But the thing is, I really loved that job. I would still be there if my boss wasn't a humongous asshole. What a fucking douche nozzle this guy is. He hates everything, and he for some reason, just... he's horrible to everybody, but I just felt like I was getting a lot of his bad behavior towards me because I was the guy who he had to deal with every fucking day. Yeah, it was, oh God, it was fucking horrible. And also, like, I don't like magicians. There was a lot of magicians coming in and out of that shop. So there's that.
I wish the internet could have just seen the face that I made. It was beautiful when he said he doesn't like magicians. It was like, it wasn't necessarily throwing shade, but it was just like a, guys, this guy. Like, just imagine me making that face. Please. I just need it.
It's a fitting response for most of his
words.
Like, you always kind of say,
sentences.
This guy.
Shut up.
This guy.
Man, shut I tell up.
You. So you wanna take a break before we go to emails?
Yeah, we're going to answer your questions, your drunk emails. Do you guys want to do shots?
Shots.
Good,
shots,
I don't
shots,
either. But, shots. Oh, we don't have to be drunk. They had to be drunk when they
said these. Yeah, we don't have to be drunk to read them.
But, I mean, we can always just be drunk. I mean,
who's true. Gonna... All right, so we will be back after this short break.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I've been working in this factory for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. And I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. My woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Well, that foreman, he's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord thinks he's cool. One of these days I'm gonna blow my top, and that sucker, he's gonna pay. Lord, I can't wait to see their faces when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Take this job and shove it.
Our first email comes to us from an Onua.
Oh,
thank you, Onua, for your question.
And Onua writes, dear PieCast crew, I never got around to asking for relationship advice, and I don't have any alcohol at the moment, so I figured I'd give this a shot.
Fair enough.
I would like to become a self-published author at some point in the future. Obviously, I have to actually finish a book first, but what advice can you guys give me once I've accomplished that? I seriously have no goddamn clue what I'm doing, and that keeps me awake at night sometimes. Lastly, here's that dick pic you guys and gal seem to really want. And there's a picture of Richard Nixon from Futurama.
Yeah, that's really funny. Nice.
Clever.
Onua.
Onua. Well, I think the first thing you should do is maybe write something. That's if you're going to be a writer, as I'm learning myself, you really need to start developing a discipline to taking time out of every single day and giving yourself a certain amount of time to write.
Mm-hmm.
And which I'm finding difficult to do because I don't actually have that discipline to write. I have discipline to do other things. Like I'm a Viking when it comes to binge watching Netflix. I'll do that all day, but I won't write anything all day. But yeah, I mean, there's really no, I mean, you know, people have written full books on how to write books, and there's whole college courses on how to be a novelist. So mm-hmm. there's no easy answer except you just got to write, you know, and figure that out for yourself ultimately. Although I will say this, Stephen King, of all people, actually wrote a book, and I'll put it in the show notes because I can't remember the title, but it's the most wonderful book about writing from a writer's point of view. And I highly recommend that you read it because it's on my reading list and I'm going to read it as well. But look for it in the show notes. That's my two cents. What do you got?
Rachel?
What I would suggest when embarking on something that you maybe don't have a lot of knowledge or information on, reach out on websites like Meetup and see if there are like writing salons and other people involved in the field that you can consult with, see if any of them are self-published or what they do to get their work seen. I know that self-publishing is a lot easier now that we live in a very digital age, but I would recommend reaching out to others in this field. Definitely like take work you have to salons and see what can be said or done about the work specifically, but it's also a good idea to meet and greet and network see who knows what. I mean, that's
kind of, that's a great idea.
It's a good step, you know, because writing is a thing, but networking is another thing. And I think that the more people you know, the more avenues you have to gain access into the world of self-publishing.
And also, I mean, if you actually have material and you're looking to actually get it published, if that's the question, then I would recommend looking into Amazon CreateSpace, which is, I've been looking it over for projects that I'm working on, and it is by far the most user-friendly and easiest method to self-publish books and get them sold on Amazon. And it's really inexpensive and actually really quite wonderful. I know so many people who self-publish on Amazon CreateSpace. It's kind of nuts that I didn't hear about it before. So, but I hope that helps.
I got nothing. You guys, that's really solid advice.
Oh.
And Onua, when you do publish something, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
I'd love to read it.
Yeah, we'll plug the shit out of it if it's good. If it's not good, you'll never hear us talk about it ever again.
You know what? If it's not good, we'll just be like, Onua wrote something. Go, Onua. And that'll be it.
Because you should be supported and celebrated no matter what it is.
Yeah. And just because we don't like something doesn't mean it's good or bad. It just means it maybe didn't jibe with us.
Yeah.
Who cares? But, Do your thing.
Right.
And do it a lot.
And do it all the time.
That's the key. You just have to do it a lot.
Doing.
Anyway.
And if you have a hard time getting those books published, try making them rhyme and then set them to looped drums and then sell them as records.
Yeah. That's a way to go. Sure. Yeah. It's worked for you.
That's barely.
Or find a way to compartmentalize them into 140 characters a piece and then just tweet it. Because apparently people think that that's publishing.
There you go. Solid advice.
Boom.
Look at that. We knocked that one out of the park.
Thanks, Onua.
Thank you, Onua.
All right, next email. Do you want me to handle this?
Get it.
This is from one E. Jackson. And it goes, "Hey, Schaefer, Rachel, and Lugo. I've been very busy. I've been very into theater since I was a kid. More specifically, behind the scenes of theater and lighting. Starting when my mom took me to a showing of Cats, the musical, I've been trying to get into more and more professional theater lately, and I know that's what I want to do in life. So my question is this. My family insists on my going to college and that I will need that experience to get into professional theater. I'd like to point out that no one else in my family has ever done anything related to theater. But I don't think I need to put myself through the struggle of college and mass amounts of debt to really take of in the world of professional theater. In short, do I really need to go to college to get a good job in theater, or can I just work my way up with enough experience in actual theaters? Sorry for writing such a long email, and I'm still not entirely sure if you were serious when you asked people to send you career advice, but thanks for listening anyway. E. Jackson." I think that's a subject that we all know something about.
Sure.
Who wants to chime in first? Because I have so many thoughts.
It's arguable how much one's undergraduate degree lends to their career path.
True.
One thing that it does do is it gives you credibility and gives you opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you will have studied somewhere and worked with other people, and I mean, an incredibly valuable set of skills comes with that alone.
Yes.
Maybe the degree that you get and the debt that goes with that isn't going to necessarily guarantee you a job, but there's going to be so many more opportunities available for you if you do seek some kind of formal education.
Yeah, I think to second what Schaefer just said. Again, like, I don't know if a 4-year college degree and that debt is necessary or not. I can't really speak to that, but you do need training, and acting is not the kind of work where you get on the job training.
Well, he says he would like to do more behind the scenes theater.
Oh, rather than
more
the actual
specifically
acting.
Behind the scenes of theater, like,
yeah,
lighting.
Then you're still going to need training, because there's only so much that you can learn
on your own
in, and I don't know what kind of theater you're in, but I'm imagining it's a community theater. I can't imagine it's a professional union house. There's so much about the craft of theater that it would be in your best interest to get training. Where you get that training, I guess, is entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. The easiest way to do that is university. But I mean, I suppose there's a way to apprentice. I mean, you kind of like go to a professional theater and then beg someone for an internship, where you apprentice under someone. You know, I think that's a way to go.
Yeah.
But I don't think those are easier to come by than, say, you come to a theater with a degree somewhere and a working resume in a college professional theater, and say, "Hey, I just spent the past 4 years creating this, 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 and this, and this. Hire me," rather than, "Hey, I'm really, really want to do this. Hire me." So I don't know. I mean, really, that's a personal choice. I'm more on the stage and in front of the camera experience, so I don't really know much about technical theater, other than when I did it, it was really hard.
Yeah. I would like to draw from my own experience. I went to a 4-year college and got a theater degree.
And you're so proud of that.
I'm going to be the advocate for university. That's where I'm going to stand. And here is why. When I was in university, I spent my summers doing internships. You have the opportunity, and if you are in a university, your professors are going to help you find ways to get work. And when you're getting those internships, I'm going to bring it back to networking. And it's a good in. I mean, if you're worried about debt, find a school that's affordable, maybe one that'll offer you grants. I went to university for 4 years and I left debt free because I went to a really cheap school. But I did spend my summers interning, and I got all of my equity points doing that. So I'm a big advocate. And also, that way you have what seems like a meaningless piece of paper really isn't, because you have a degree, and while you're trying to get your technical lighting jobs, you have a background that you can show to your quote unquote like muggle jobs. And that's always a boon. I'm a big fan of universities. That's where I stand on it. Because university did a lot of great things for me, and I met a lot of wonderful humans interning, and a lot of great people in my program. And it gave me a lot of tools. And I had to do behind the scenes stuff, even though I was performance focused. So I was hanging lights and learning about gobos, and I was doing soundboard. And if you find a university that you really love, then definitely go for it. But if you just kind of want to like knock it out and just like get that shit going, pick like a less expensive university, because there is a way to go to school and get out debt free. Because I did it. Bam.
Boom.
That's how
I think we are universal on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, that's not the word I want.
We are unanimous.
Unanimous.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, unanimous in the sense that get training.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that training means to you,
yeah.
Get the training.
Especially if you want to go into like something that's a technical skill. Like, I mean, right. I could have just not gone to university and just been like, I'm going to move to New York at 19 and be an actor. And I probably would have been an actor now. But I'm just saying, like, on paper, I did get a lot of experience, and I did network very well, and I did intern in my summer times, and I'm glad, and that was a really great like boon for me in terms of how to get shit done. That's my two cents. Bless you, Lugo.
The Lugatron 600. It's got a few allergy
couple kinks.
Couple, yeah.
Yeah.
They worked it out with the later models, but this is the 600.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably an update that needs to be installed.
Am I a Ridley Scott replicant?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you take the next one.
Jay Matchett writes in, just listened to episode 30. So you said you wanted career questions. I got one or two for you. What do you think is the best way to approach a manager about a raise, or most entertaining way? And is it kind of a dick move to make programs to eliminate both yours and your coworkers' jobs in a bid to hasten our future robot overlords' rise to power? I might submit a drunken question tomorrow evening. Do not have time tonight. Signed, Jay Matchett.
I was wondering. I read the email and I was like, why is there not another question? He didn't have enough time tonight.
Right. Yeah.
So
what are we?
He's got two questions on here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was gonna go out the following evening.
No, I get it.
He probably had more fun than we have, so he didn't think about us.
So, Jay Matchett, the best way to get a raise is to just look your boss in the eye and say, "Look here, dickhole, give me my fucking money."
To some degree, Lugo's right about this. Because here's the thing. If you go to a manager and you say, I want a raise. I've been here a long time. Smitty in the warehouse got a raise, and he hasn't been here quite as long. Jeremy gets raises all the time. Where's my raise? I deserve it. Now, if your manager doesn't give you that raise, then you're going to have to make a decision if you can keep working there. Because if you keep working there after making that demand, then you've taught them that they can get away with not treating you well. Because they're being reinforced. If you're going to really go and ask for a raise,
you kind of have to
go in with a nothing to lose kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Because if they're not going to give it to you, then you're a dick for staying. So I would say one of your best bargaining chips is to go find another job.
Abso-fucking-lutely, yes.
Go interview. Mm-hmm. Find somebody who's interested and come in and tell your boss, this other company is courting me and they're going to be offering me this much more. That is probably the most successful way to get a raise,
because it's cheaper for them to give you the raise than it would be to take the time and the energy to train somebody else to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just out of convenience, they don't want to have to just deal with having to bring somebody on new. So I guess I was making a joke, but no, Schaefer, I think Schaefer, you nailed it. Yeah.
I feel that the best way to get a raise is to create a sense of fear, overwhelming threat of pain and fear. Just make it hazardous for your boss.
Yeah, don't do that.
If you're just cold, you just see your boss and just cold sweats just break out on them. That's what you need to do.
If your boss,
and then blow him
in his
holy shit. That went,
I've never had a job that did raises, so I don't know.
If your boss's office, if he or she has pictures of his or her family on the wall, when you go in and ask for a raise, do not make eye contact with the boss. Just stare at the photos of their family.
That's a really good-looking family you have there, Mr. Jones.
It'd be a real shame if something had to happen.
You don't
to
even
them.
Have to say anything like that. That's takes it over the top. You can just stare at the picture and be like, I feel like I deserve a little bit more money for what I'm doing.
Then just like take your thumb and just like caress one of the faces.
Oh man,
ever so gently.
Oh man, this question got real south real fast.
Well, we were kind of not snarky, and so,
well, he also has a second question on here, and is it,
which I didn't really understand when I read,
is it kind of a dick move to make programs to eliminate both yours and your coworkers' jobs in a bid to hasten our future robot overlord's rise to power?
Oh, I get
Rachel
it.
Rachel Shank.
I think that it is self-sabotaging. Not necessarily a dick move, but maybe think about it in the future when you are creating a program that does your job for you better than you do.
I don't know if it's a dick
it's
move.
It's almost, this is almost like a sci-fi quandary kind of question, where it's like, is innovation going to destroy us, and is it shitty of us to innovate? Are we playing God against ourselves? So this is a heavy question, actually.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's kind of like Cronenberg.
First, I was like, oh, is it a dick move only because you're feeling empathy for your coworker?
Yeah,
because it said you and your coworker's jobs. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Write the program that eliminates your coworker's job and then feel bad for them, but then take credit for writing the program, and then you will get some sort of cushy office.
Ooh. There you go.
And you never have to innovate ever again.
That's the story of what happened to one Jebediah Skynet.
Of the Cincinnati Skynets.
And generations of his bloodline will continue to do great things, innovations in technology.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. Next email.
Oh, wait. Can I just say, I would like for Jay Matchett to read The Velt, and that should answer your question.
Find it in the show notes.
Our next email has the subject line, drunk emails.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. I was hoping we'd get at least one.
It comes to us from a K-Wise. Hi, Schaefer and Lugo and Rachel. I am inebriated right now.
Proud.
What is the best way to tell your boss that he's being an asshole right now and everyone is starting to get really irritated with it? I love you, K-Wise.
Oh, I love you too, K-Wise.
K-Wise, you win right now because you're drunk and you asked a work question.
I think the best way to do it is exactly how you typed it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're an asshole and nobody likes you.
Yeah, specifically the part about how you're inebriated. Wait till you're drunk and then tell your boss that.
Yeah.
Because you don't give a... you disagree with...
Oh, I mean, that's really funny. Do it because it's funny if you're looking for a great story, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to work there anymore, that's the fastest way to do it.
I think you should get a group of your coworkers, because if everyone is getting annoyed with it, maybe y'all could, like, come together and approach your boss and be like, hey... Maybe stop being such a dick.
I guess it kind of depends on what kind of a job it is. Because if it's a job that actually has like a human resource person.
Maybe then, go to HR, yeah.
Yeah, you go to HR. And then you and all of your coworkers do it like through the channels. And you go through HR and you say, hey, our boss is a dick. Please tell him to stop being a dick.
It also depends on what kind of a dick your boss is.
Yeah.
Like if he insists that everybody can only take a 20-minute lunch break. He takes a long one. Well, that's one thing. But yeah. if he's like throwing, you know,
like, knives.
He's throwing knives at you all day long. Well, then you should probably contact.
I mean, that's a problem if your job does not involve having knives thrown at you.
Right.
If you're the girl on the spinny wheel and someone's throwing knives at you, can't really be mad about
also,
that.
Also, K-Wise, if you're at a job where somebody's throwing knives at you, congratulations. Everybody has one of those jobs in their life.
It's true.
And so yeah. you're getting yours out of the way.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It's going to be a great story. But yeah. Also, please reread this in your sobriety and send us a follow-up sober and tell us what you did.
Yeah, seriously.
I want to know how this one turns out.
I'm curious as to whether or not you actually go through with telling him things.
Yeah, I think I need more details. Honestly.
Yeah, I do too. I think the best idea though that Rachel said was just start polling your coworkers and see how many other people are sick of his assholery.
Yeah,
or her
assholery.
And then stand united,
form a posse.
Yeah.
Then yeah. lynch him.
And then lynch him.
Shut up, I said lynch him.
Oh.
Five it up.
Five it up.
Bam.
You guys just high-fived the word lynch him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's two words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
Still. That's what posses do.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Old West movies. I know how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I, on behalf of the Epic Podcast, I apologize for that one. It was maybe a bit too far.
Yes, it was. Holy shit. Our next email comes from one G. Roberts from Bristol, UK.
Ooh.
I didn't know we had any UK listeners.
Well, I think the sweet young man who wanted to know to go to college or not is from the UK too, because he said mum.
Oh, well, that isn't particularly conclusive.
I read it that way, too.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't.
I got really excited.
Now I'm curious. Maybe I want to, you know what? Send us emails. Tell us where you're from. I want to get a nice poll of our demographic.
Mm-hmm. And we'll make a map.
We'll make a map, yes. An infographic.
Yeah.
And this one starts, hey there, Epic Pie Crew. I'm not much of a drinker, so hope a sober career question is okay with you all. I have quite a tedious maths-based job with an electric company. I don't hate it or anything, and the pay is pretty good. I just find it pretty boring and fulfilling.
He probably means unfulfilling.
I find it pretty boring and unfulfilling. I do well in my performance reviews, and my boss tells me she can see me having a long career with the company. I don't know if I should play it safe and stay there or look for something I'd find more fun. I'm not really a creative type like you guys, so this isn't I want to quit my job to concentrate on my art thing. I just thought I'd end up doing something more fun. Do you think I should look for something else, or is this, in your opinion, standard just turn 30 whining? Big thanks for your shows. I look forward to it at the end of every month. G. Roberts, Bristol, UK.
Aw, G. Roberts. We look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely. Thanks for writing in, first of all.
Yes, thank you.
This is tough. Well, here's the thing. I'm a big proponent of doing the thing you love rather than doing the thing for money. And maybe I'm coming from a place of
rationalization.
Well, no, because I am a creative type, and maybe I'm confusing my passion with practicality. But I think if you're going to be doing something, and you're going to be doing that thing for the rest of your life, you should probably enjoy doing it and be fulfilled by it. But I don't know if the problem is with what he's doing versus with where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if the company is boring and unfulfilling or the work that you're doing is boring and unfulfilling. Because those are two separate problems. Because if it's the company, then that's a simple fix. Just find a different company that has an atmosphere that's more conducive to you.
I think it's the work.
I don't
think it's a matter of I want to stay. This field is where I want to be, and yeah, this company's wrong. It's just the work is dull.
Yeah.
Mm. then yeah, then my very biased two cents is find something that you love doing and do that.
You surely have some sort of passion outside of work. I mean, you say you're not a creative person, but you have to do something. The thing is that if a place that you find boring and unfulfilling is somewhere that you're going to spend 40 hours a week is a lot of your time.
And a lot of your life.
Yeah.
To be
unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be unfulfilled. And it's I don't recall who said this, but if you find the job you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Yeah. And that's sound advice. I mean, you may need to alter your personal definition of what fulfillment is, because it may not look the way you think it should look.
You may have to change your understanding of what the word job means, too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it depends on so many factors, and this is a personal choice that you're going to have to sort of wrestle with. And yeah, part of it is, like, I just turned 30 and I'm blah. Like, that's also a part of it. But I think ultimately, you have to figure out how to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you're doing is not making you happy, then yeah, of course, do something else. But that's a very pat answer to a more complicated issue.
Yeah. What I can recommend, just like the most pragmatic option, stay where you are. Go on websites like Indeed. Type in ideas that you have for jobs that you like. Research jobs. Maybe one will call to you in a certain way. Like, you don't have to make this decision right now, and it can always just be something that you're thinking about and you're toying with, and maybe something will pop up that just really catches your eye and you're like, I would really like to do that particular job. How do I get involved with that? There was a moment in my life where I was like, I'd really like to be a paralegal, and I was like looking up how to be a paralegal, and then that didn't really work out and I got distracted.
I think you're in a really good position because you obviously have job security. They love you there.
Yeah.
So you actually have, and time is actually on your side.
Yeah.
I would recommend, there's a great book called What Color Is My Parachute? And it's, I think every year there's a new updated version. And it's a part book, part workbook that really really sort of opens up the possibility of asking questions about what it is you actually enjoy doing in life, and then pairing that up with actual jobs you can do in the world.
I want that book.
A friend of mine read the book and went from this soul-sucking corporate job as an administrative assistant, not even a high one, like a low level administrative assistant, and then she turned her life around and went back to school and got her degree in library sciences, and now she's a librarian for a museum. She's like the archivist for a museum, and she loves it there.
That's really cool.
It really kind of boils down to, like, you're gonna have to do research.
Soul searching.
You're going to have to do some soul searching, and you're going to have to ask yourself some really tough, tough questions. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that, A, time is on your side. You're still a young man, and or I'm assuming it's a man. You're still a young person, and you have a job where you can kind of, like, sit in until you answer the question for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want a follow up email from you too. Yeah. I want to know what it is you actually end up doing.
I'm so invested in your careers, friends.
Yeah, I'm so invested in all of my listeners now.
Ones.
That was a really great question. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because that actually happened to me, because I was on an actor's path. Like, I was going to be an actor. Like, I was doing the whole hustling for stage gigs and doing all the training and all the voice and speech stuff. And then one day I just realized that I was not fulfilled by it at all. And I was not having any fun. And so I just stopped. I stopped and then I doubled down on the whole magic thing. Luckily, I mean, I didn't do a lot of whole lot of research or soul searching, because it was something I was already doing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of doubled down on the other thing I was doing. So I got lucky in that respect. But it can be scary. And it can be, you know, a really troubling time. But I think in the long run, you're going to be happier.
Yeah.
So. Thought Schaefer?
Do what they told you to do and then follow up with us. I mean, I know I'm all too familiar with unhappy job complacency.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to a point where I've just not invested too much emotionally or many hopes into most of my day jobs.
Right.
That I've accepted that there's a certain amount of tedium and monotony and soul sucking that is, yeah. that comes along with them. But I find all kinds of fulfillment from this other thing that I do where I shout nursery rhymes at drunks.
Yeah. That's the thing. But that's, like,
yeah, I can kind of reconnoiter that.
Yeah, I found it a lot easier to do a job that isn't necessarily my cup of tea if I'm spending the time that I'm not doing that doing something I love doing.
Which is why, yeah, this
yeah, I guess that's the other option, right? Like, you can keep the job that you're good at but hate.
Yeah.
But then you need a hobby, a thing that you do when yeah. you're not at work. That brings you a great sense of joy to sort of offset it, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's the good news is that you have options.
You have so many options.
You have so many options available to you.
You are very lucky.
Yeah, just ultimately find what makes you happy and then do that.
Yeah.
And we might recommend that you look into the Epic Piecast internship program.
It's done wonders for me.
And I think we got our last email.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
This one comes from an L. Parkhurst. Dear Piecast hosts, thank you so much for answering my question in February's episode. You guys asked for an update, and I'm happy to say the guy and I figured things out a few months ago and recently moved in together.
Okay.
Also, if we do get married, I would love to hire the Piecast.
Oh.
I would even bake pies and other sweets. Y'all are amazing. L. Parkhurst.
Oh my God, I love this one.
If you recall from the romance, from the Love Line episode, L. Parkhurst had written to us, and because she had been seeing somebody and been spending a lot of time with them and was
there was a
concerned about
involved,
saying,
children
saying,
involved.
Yeah, there were, yeah.
His he, children, yes. His children involved.
And yeah, two, her partner
two
had.
Two little girls, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they'd spent some holidays together, and she was concerned about saying, I love you, and it being mm-hmm. too soon, and we said, F that noise.
Yeah.
This man loves you.
Get in there.
Just tell him.
Get
shout it from
there.
The rooftops.
Yeah.
So this was the update that we requested and
we received.
L. Parkhurst, that is
congratulations.
That absolutely warms my heart to hear.
This email makes me so happy.
I know.
This is I couldn't have hoped for better news.
Yeah.
Super congrats
just,
to you.
Ms.
Parkhurst.
Yeah.
I couldn't be happier for you. And now I want to know is when you're going to propose to him.
Yes.
And when you're going to hire us.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to
do. Now, what does one hire us for?
Well,
color commentary.
Well, the Epic Piecast has multiple options yeah. of the nuptial and wedding variety.
Yeah.
Go
I
on.
Mean, I...
We are well. We could actually be. What's the word?
Officiate.
Thank you. We could actually officiate the wedding.
Yes.
We could color
Nelson
commentate.
Schaefer
the wedding.
Have legal.
We could also
to do that.
Be entertainers at the wedding in some capacity.
How about
mm-hmm.
Rachel officiates?
Right.
What? I don't have a thing. Can
that's
I?
An
get
well,
that
you
on
might
internet?
As well. We all three.
All three. That's an internet thing. So internet and $25. You'll be fine.
Okay,
and
done.
We'll find out what the rules are in El Parker State. Maybe you're. And then I don't know. We'll do. Like red carpet interviews when the guests show up in the parking lot.
Red carpet interviews, absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, whose grandmother are you and who are you wearing this evening?
Yes.
And then we will form the wedding band.
We will, we could also DJ.
We could DJ.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of things
man,
we
my
could
DJ
do.
My DJ set's going to be off the hizzy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, you're going to show up and you say this, but if you actually got booked to do like a DJ gig,
yeah.
you would show up and you just start like,
I have a playlist.
Songs, but if you have an internet connection, there's a bunch of songs on YouTube that I like.
No. I would do it up. I would do digital turntable. It'll be great.
It would be
also. I just want to be paid in pie. That's really why I'm kind of pitching the Epic Pie.
I'm serious. What I'm asking though is like, what would you hire us to do?
I know.
Your wedding?
There are so many things we could do. So many things. I mean, above and beyond just being officiants. I mean, we are multi-talented people. We can do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I can do one.
I can do a few things.
I could do maybe three things. Maybe three. Two and a half.
L. Parkhurst. As flattered as we are that you would want to hire us for your wedding.
Our rates are so cheap. We are so affordable. We will be there in a New York second.
Or you could have let me finish my sentence.
No, because you're about to poo-poo and tell her to go hire somebody else.
No, I was going to say I would love it if we just got an invitation.
Yeah, that would
be better. My heart is sad now because I mean that. Like, I would love it. If this works out and you guys do get hitched, I will send you my address and I want an invitation to your wedding.
You know what we could do?
Oh my God. I think I know what you're thinking.
If we could go to L. Parkhurst's wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could go to the reception.
Yeah.
And we could set up a table.
Yeah.
Where we will record an episode of the Epic Podcast
live
and
there.
We'll record it there, yeah. And then we'll ask all of your wedding guests to we'll have them pose us relationship and love questions so that they can find love just like L. Parkhurst in her bow.
I feel like we're little Cupids, guys. Oh. I'm so happy.
Yeah. This actually restores my faith in humanity.
We could also help you propose if you wanted.
Oh my God.
Oh, we could plan the fuck out of a stunt proposal.
We will plan the best stunt proposal in the world.
Flash mob. Just go with me. It's crazy.
It'll be magic and rappers and ukuleles.
Snowboards and helicopters and alligators.
Yeah.
Yep.
Flash pots.
Cosplays.
Skiv piglets.
What the fuck is this?
The banana derby?
You just got caught.
The banana derby. Do you know what the banana derby is, Luca?
Do you know?
What's banana derby?
The banana derby.
Lay it on.
The banana derby is a traveling attraction that is a derby of dogs ridden by monkeys.
I'm in. I'm in. Let's do this.
I got on the internet. And
I will propose for you.
The banana derby.
I will Cyrano de Bergerac the fuck out of that proposal.
Banana derby in the show notes. Look it up. It's insanity.
Wowzers. Yeah. I actually got invited to a couple of weddings this summer.
Me too.
I never get invited to anything, and I'm actually really shocked that I got invited.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm stoked for those weddings.
I can't go to one because I'm actually going to be out of town.
Me too.
Which is unfortunate. But I don't have a reliable excuse for the other one, so I guess I have to go.
wish we could have broadcast that expression. So there's one other email. Do you want to address it?
Yeah, you pick it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, last month we got an email from a listener, one TWBB,
mm-hmm.
Who misfired a joke, which was probably, which was intended to be a good-natured ribbing, but actually ended up being mean. And we, Rachel addressed it last month. And,
yeah.
And TWBB wrote a very lovely apology email. And so we at the Epic Podcast just want to say apology accepted. And no harm done, all water under the bridge.
No hard feelings.
I just hope we can just move forward from here. And let bygones be bygones. So the email was very earnest and very sincere. And we here at the Epic Podcast, thank you very much for doing so.
Oh, yes. My God. It's all like spring is in the air. We're talking about love and conflict resolution. It just feels so sunny and optimistic for the dawning of a new day. Yes.
And at TWBB, if we are in the same room together anytime soon, I would love to give you a hug.
Aww.
I offer that.
Aww. I don't like touching people, but otherwise I think I'm
the toucher of the group, so
you
can go through me for all your hugging needs.
I think that's it.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah. let's do some plugs and get the fuck out of here.
Wee.
What do you people got? And we're, I guess what we talk about May. Ultimately?
Yes,
May.
My new analog planner doesn't make as much noise as my old one, and I miss it.
I'm gonna go first. Okay, on May 4th, the Tank Theater is holding a their annual benefit drive to raise funds for the programming for next year. It's going to be a big shindig, lots of muckety mucks, and it's going to be at the Producers Club, which is this fancy, fancy membership club for actors in the city. But it's like it was once owned by Edwin Booth, John Wilkes Booth's brother. And it's got this long, long history. And I'm actually going to be performing a magic set there. So if you want information on that, visit my website or my Facebook for all of the details. On May 5th, listeners of the show will remember Killy Dwyer was a guest here. She has invited me to be on her basic cable TV show.
I did that. It's fun.
She wants me to do magic and stuff. So I'm going to be on TV, yo, but on New York basic cable. And
we don't call it that.
What do we call it?
I don't remember.
All right. Well, I'm going to be on television. Hopefully you'll be able to get it wherever you are, and I will give you all the details then. On May 9th, Epic Win Burlesque is back.
Gasp, what?
I know.
From the dead.
Apparently, Schaefer found a Lazarus pit and brought this thing kicking and screaming back to life for one and one night only, and it's called Batman Burlesque.
It is not called that.
It's not called Batman Burlesque.
The show is called Epic Win Burlesque Presents Holy Shit Batman Forever.
There's an ellipsis
before forever, that's a mouthful, by the way.
Schaefer was kind enough to put this together because May 10th is my birthday.
Hooray!
And I'm going to be celebrating it this year, unlike any other year where I actively ignore it. What else? May 14th, I'm going to be doing a storytelling show in Brooklyn called Say What? Run by my dear friend Morgan. For details of that, visit my website. And that's all I got for me. Oh, and I might be in the Steampunk World's Fair, but I don't know yet.
On Friday, May 1st, I will appear in an after party at a hacker convention called HushCon East.
Ooh.
Having an after party at Littlefield in Brooklyn. I will be performing on a bill with rappers Dual Core and MC Frontalot.
That's on the first?
That is on Friday, May 1st.
Ooh, I'm going to that.
Littlefield in Brooklyn.
I'm going to that too.
Rap raps. On Saturday, May 9th, I will be appearing in and co-hosting Epic Win Burlesque's Rise from the Grave as we present Holy Shit .. Batman Forever, a birthday party for Nelson Lugo at the Tank Theater in NYC.
True.
On Friday, May 15th, I will appear at Dead Sexy at a horror-themed bar called Times Scare in Times Square. I will be doing raps. I will also be undressing.
Oh!
So find yourself there.
Fancy.
On Tuesday, May 19th, I will be hosting Rabbit Hole Productions Presents Love, Sex, and Death, a burlesque tribute to dark romance at the Parkside Lounge in New York City.
I think that's the only burlesque show I'm actually going to attend this year.
Because it says, because the title's Love, Sex, and Death?
Yeah.
And those are, yes, yeah, they're relevant to your interests. Well, then you will be happy to know that you will also have an opportunity to see me take my clothes off there.
I don't need a show. That happens all willy-nilly with you around.
I have never... All right. And that's it.
On Sunday, May 3rd, Raunchy and Risque returns to the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City.
You still doing that?
Yeah, it was on hiatus for a month. We were doing a thing. That's a late night comedy show with burlesque. I might be hosting it as Charles. I might be hosting it as Rachel. I don't know. Come find out. Fuck it. Who cares? I do what I want.
Whoa.
On Saturday, May 9th, I will be debuting for the first time ever an act on the Epic Win Burlesque stage. It has never happened. I will be at the Risen from the Grave Epic Win Burlesque's production of Epic Win Presents Holy Shit Batman Forever, a birthday tribute to Nelson Lugo. I will be there as Rachel. It's gonna be weird.
Hey, can we kill Epic Win again right after the show?
Can we just stab it in effigy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Like, set fire to
this,
it.
This isn't coming back.
No,
this is
it's like not.
This is a one-off return for your birthday. This is not going to continue to be an ongoing burlesque show.
Okay, good.
So we're not in that business anymore.
No, okay, good.
I'm debuting, and I'm killing a show.
Yes.
Bam.
I want to stab it in the heart with a chaos shard.
On Sunday, the 17th, will be another Raunchy Risque, the late night show at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City.
Oh, two in 1 month.
Yeah, we do them twice a month.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was monthly.
Then on Friday, the 22nd, Raunchy Risque is doing a trial run show at the New York Comedy Club in Manhattan.
Ooh.
It's going to be a late, late, late show, so come check us out.
When you say late, 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 what time is that?
Like 11. 11:45.
Okay.
Details to follow. We're still hammering that out. And any Tuesday of the month, if you feel the need, I'm at The Dump, which is an open mic storytelling show at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. So if you want to come hear me tell stories about what a horrible human I am, then that's the place to be.
I would imagine you have one story that you tell over and over and over again.
I'm not perfect, guys. As much as we like to believe it, I'm not. I'm a flawed individual, and I've got stories to tell about it.
All right. I think that's it. Are we done?
Yeah.
Let's get the fuck out of here. This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 31. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And I have been your other host, Rachel Shank.
Be safe, internets.
Did you know when George Lucas was mixing the American Graffiti soundtrack, he numbered the reels of film starting with an R and numbered the dialogue starting with a D? Sound designer Walter Murch asked George for reel 2, dialogue 2, by saying R2-D2. George liked the way that sounded so much, he integrated that into another project he was working on.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast.
We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
We done? What are you recording now?
The stinger.
Oh. Yeah, we're just gonna...
Is this... Oh, dude, I was clever for like almost 2 hours. I can't be... I'm
well...
Really?
Guys, I mean, the episode was almost 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Scientifically.
Really?
You didn't talk for the full 2 hours, so.
Really?
She's right.
You were clever for maybe a third of it.
No.
And maybe a third of the third.
That's
of it.
I would say maybe I said one funny thing.
You said one really funny thing.
And yes. That's it.
Yes, you did.
It was great.
Yeah. Wait, what was it?